You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome in to Slapshot Radio on Nashville's best sports talk, ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game Nashville app. The playoffs are rolling on. The Final Four are playing it out, and we got plenty to talk about there. Plus, we're going to go down on the farm with the general manager of the Milwaukee Admirals, our good friend Scott Nickel. It's all brought to you by day one sponsor, Hermitage Family and Cosmetic Dentistry, the largest wine and spirits store in Middle Tennessee, Cool Springs Wines and Spirits. Our friends at Lazy Boy Furniture Galleries Nashville with three locally owned and operated locations in Middle Tennessee. Lazy Boy? Father's Day. Get it through your head. And, of course, the man, Carter Church with KW Murfreesboro, your real estate expert. I'm Paul McCann. Our co-hosts are former NHL coach and player Brent Peterson, who, Zach, Preds Insider Watch Party host Zach McCann. Where the heck is Brent?
I believe he is on summer vacation right now, and good for him.
Okay. Actually, he is spending some time at the lake with his family, and we wish him and Tammy well, and actually wish to wish them a very, very happy anniversary. They just celebrated a 52nd anniversary, telling you what. And we wish the best of both of them, and enjoy your time, that's for sure. So, Zach, you know, it may be off-season in Nashville, but there is some news coming out. And, of course, the big news, Pekka Rinne takes home another National Hockey League trophy, this time the King Clancy.
I mean, what more can be said about Pekka Rinne, the person, that hasn't already been said? Personally, whenever I've had an interaction with them, he certainly earns his moniker and his knowing as nicest guy in the league, because he is just a gem of a human being. And this award is just one more feather in his cap to show his dedication, not only to being an excellent hockey player, but being an excellent human being.
Yeah, you know, there's a reason why Pekka got the ovation he got at the last home game of the regular season. There's a reason why he got that, and it's not because his numbers going to the rafters because of his play. It is because of his involvement in the entire Music City community. I mean, you look at, you know, the 365 fund that he put together with Shea Weber, his work with Best Buddies, and the interesting thing is he wants zero credit for any of it, and which of course makes you want to give him even more credit. You know, you guys worked together on welcoming Mike back for the for the thing that we that you taped for the vaccination special, for Roll Up Your Sleeve.
You know, it was interesting because during that we weren't quite sure if we were going to be able to get, you know, Pekka or any of the players to be able to, you know, do anything with Mike. And if, you know, if you're not familiar with Pekka Rinne's work with Best Buddies, his best buddy with Mike McGuire is someone who was on the NBC vaccination special about a month or so ago, and we did a little thing here in Nashville with that. As soon as Pekka heard about it, he instantly made sure that there was, you know, a few videos taken for him, and made sure every player knew that Mike was going to be there and be on the glass, and said hi to him. Just took a few minutes, and it was a really special time for him.
Again, it's just one of the things that Pekka Rinne does for this team, for this community. And, you know, we know that his time with Nashville is coming to an end, whether it has come to an end or whether we get one more year. I really hope we do get that one more year. And when you look at the when you listen to the post game, the postseason appearances from David Poile, he certainly made it clear he'd like him back for another year. And honestly, when you look at the development pipeline for the Nashville Predators, I mean, you've got a Connor Ingram who's got talent for days. We just hope that he gets, you know, that he gets his life together. Then, you know, with Askarov marinating in the KHL, probably at least another year before you see him over, across the pond, one more year just feels right.
It certainly wouldn't hurt to have him here. I mean, if not, then Connor Ingram's going to get his shot sooner rather than later. Now, Rene was on, I believe, the Athletics podcast today and mentioned in there just kind of the same thing that he stated at the end of the year, saying he wants to keep his options open, hasn't really decided on anything yet. And you do have to think that if he does anything, it won't be until after that July 21st expansion draft, because we know that he doesn't want to put any team through that, and he doesn't want to put himself through that possibility as well.
Oh, no question. And that's something that, you know, we're going to get talking about on that expansion draft, because a good piece in The Athletic from Adam Vingan talking about who do you protect, who do you not protect. We'll get into some of that. We all certainly are going to get into Montreal and Vegas, certainly get into Tampa and the New York Islanders. But one of the other big stories that came out yesterday, the New York Rangers decide to go ahead and do something really, really different in their coaching search. They went and they hired one of the same guys that has been an NHL head coach before. Now, to their credit, the last coach they had no NHL experience. Now they hired Gerard Gallant.
Yeah, it's kind of weird that there are only 40 people in the world who are qualified to coach NHL hockey.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, and but if you look at it, I mean, you know, you look at what happened in New York, you look at what happened in Philadelphia, bringing somebody directly from, you know, the NCAA in both cases, good coaches, successful coaches, just didn't seem to be able to cut it in the National Hockey League. So you can't blame them for going back to that well. I mean, Gallant has done some really good things. I mean, you look at being the first coach of the Vegas Golden Knights, brought him to the Stanley Cup final in his first year. I mean, this is a guy, though, that's been around for a little bit. I mean, he has won the Jack Adams. You know, he's, you know, he went ahead, you know, he's coached the Columbus Blue Jackets, he's coached the Florida Panthers, this being his fourth NHL team. And a lot of folks seem to believe, and I don't know if I completely buy off on this, that the Rangers are just real close to really being a competitor. And I don't know if I buy off on that.
I think they're trying to accelerate a rebuild that needs a little bit more time to marinate. But, you know, as I've been a proponent of for a while now, you're a loser until you're a winner, and you're never really sure when the rebuild is done. They certainly have the pieces. Artemi Panarin. They have, you know, players like Kirill Kaprizov, like Alex Lafreniere. The only real questions are, who's the solution in net, and who's going to play on the blue line for them? So if they can solve that and they have a system in place, it's almost like a reverse of the Golden Knights right now, where they have all the offensive talent in the world, but you're not quite sure about the defense and the goaltending. Whereas with the Golden Knights, when they first came in, they had decent defense, really great goaltending. So we'll see if that Gallant magic that we saw in Vegas can work on Broadway.
It's also going to be the interesting piece to watch this and now say, okay, you've got the, you know, Vegas now has to give somebody up. I think it's really interesting now to see how that happens in the upcoming expansion draft. And they're going to lose a good player. There's no question about that. If you were to protect nine, there's more than nine good players on that team. Mm-hmm. You look at, you know, a couple of things going on there. I mean, this expansion draft, I think a lot of lessons were learned with the Vegas one. I think that the general managers were reticent to make any side deals. Like, if you look at when Nashville came in, when Atlanta came in, when Columbus came in, there were so many side deals of, well, you can have so-and-so, and you can have this draft picked if you don't touch this guy in the expansion draft. So there was lots of deals that, honestly, I mean, you know, David Poile did a good job at the beginning. I mean, you look at Atlanta, did a really good job. They stacked up some really, really good talent. They just were a complete disaster area when it came to front office and behind the bench. And looks like that DNA hasn't really, you know, changed too much when they went north of the border. But when you look at this expansion draft coming up right now, put on your GM hat. We've got 90 seconds. We're going to say, who do you put on your list for Nashville that you don't touch?
I think your absolute do not touch are your ones who are very obvious. Clearly, it's UC Saros. Clearly, it's, you know, Roman Josi. After that, I'd probably say Philip Forsberg. And I don't have a ton of players to say after that. I would probably say those would be my top three right now. Everyone else on the team, you could talk me into at some point.
Now, the interesting piece is when you look at there's almost a reverse situation going on right now that went on because you can remember, oh, do you keep Yarncroke? Do you keep Neil? You remember this whole thing. Mm-hmm. And you chose Yarncroke because he was a couple years younger, couple years more more term on a contract, and a reasonable contract. You know what? There's a little bit of a flip right now. I mean, look, we know Yarncroke. He's the kind of army knife that you always want to use. Can play up and down the lineup, but you've got a couple other players that fit that term too, and are younger. And I'm thinking right now, Luke Cunning.
Luke Cunning is certainly one. If it's between those two, I'd probably go Luke Cunning just because the offensive upside, I think, and the propensity to not only play in the top six but stay in the top six.
Right.
The interesting thing for me is when it comes down to a Callie Yarncroke or a Colton Sissons.
Another interesting choice.
And on that one, I'm honestly probably more inclined to keep Sissons just because of that chemistry that he's shown on that fourth line. And Callie Yarncroke is known for saying, you know, I want to be the guy. I want to be up in that top six. I want to, you know, when the game's on the line, I want to be out there. And I don't know if there's room for him right now to do that in this lineup.
There's a want. And then there is, you know, I appreciate the desire. Every player wants more ice time. But I think when you look at short term, you absolutely see that. Long term, don't know. So this is something we're going to talk about a lot in the upcoming hour here on Slapshot Radio. Paul McCann, Zach McCann coming at you. And hey, I do want to talk to you about our premier sponsor here on Slapshot Radio, Doctors Aileen Kruger and Tyler Boland over at Hermitage Family and Cosmetic Dentistry. Man, when I tell you what a great place to go to get your dental needs taken care of. Comfortable environment, great staff. I'm telling you, they offer all the latest in dental technology, including in-office whitening, sedation dentistry. Look, you don't like it? I mean, I personally hate it. Man, knock me out and I'm a happy camper. Just wake me up and it's all done. I'm happy. Check out their website at WeBrightonSmiles.com. Or you can call them for an appointment at 615-872-7762. That's 615-872-7762. Hermitage Family and Cosmetic Dentistry. We brighten smiles.
And now, Slapshot Radio takes you down on the farm. A monthly look at the Milwaukee Admirals.
Down on the farm. Brought to you by Lazy Boy Furniture Gallery's three Middle Tennessee locations with furniture in stock and ready for delivery. You got to check out our friends at Lazy Boy. So, it's been a while since we've talked to Scott, and I'm looking forward to hearing what he has to say. Let's bring him on. It's Scott Nickel, the general manager of the Milwaukee Admirals, joining us on Slapshot Radio. Scott, how are you tonight?
Good, guys. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Oh, glad to have you. And I know you're at the rink. So if we hear, you know, if we hear the sounds of bodies crashing and, you know, 10-year-old bodies crashing into the boards, we know where you're at. It's no problem. So,
all right.
So, Scotty, what a bizarre year. You were the general manager of a team that was not playing, and you probably spent a heck of a lot of time in Chicago.
Yeah, Wendell Young and I are pretty close friends now. Both of us are GMs of the team, so it was good. I think you go in, you're a little nervous of what's going to happen when you're a split affiliation and you're kind of maybe a little bit of a house guest to Chicago and the Carolina organization, but it was fantastic. Like, it was great for the growth of our young guys. I thought they really drove the bus with the team, the leadership between, you know, Tanner Janot and Tommy Novak and these guys. Rem Pitlick had a springboard. Like, a lot of our guys used that year to kind of springboard themselves into the taxi squad and get some games up in Nashville. So it was good. It was a little different just because you don't have your hands on the wheel, really. But it was great communication with their head coach, with Ryan Warsawski, and Carl Taylor ran the power play, and it just, I think you guys all know we got, you know, our two assistant coaches were player developments in the American League. So we found a role for for everybody. I thought it was really important for our guys to keep working, which was fantastic, and to be involved with our young guys because we're going to have these guys next year. So it was good. I can't say Carolina organization was fantastic. It would have been nice to beat them in the playoffs, but to work with them, it was good. Everybody was very cordial.
All right, we are on the line with the one and only Scott Nickel, general manager of the Milwaukee Admirals, as we go down on the farm. Zach.
So, Scott, obviously, you know, we've discussed it was a strange year with the Chicago Wolves kind of being in-house there. What do you do now to kind of get your players, especially ones who might have just come into the organization and now only have experience with the Wolves, how do you get them to adjust to coming in and playing a Milwaukee-Nashville hybrid style of hockey?
Well, I think that's part of the growth of a young player. Anybody that comes from college to junior to pro, you're learning different systems. So it's good for the overall growth for our guys to play a little bit different system with Carolina. They play a little bit of man-on-man in the D zone, which isn't, you know, we play more of a zone, I guess, but which isn't a huge deal. But it's good to learn different systems, how to adapt. You're not always going to play the same system your whole life. You could get traded, and the next day you got to play a different system. So, but all our staff was there. Our equipment guys were there. Our medical guys were there. Our assistant coaches were there. Our head coaches there. Our video coaches there. So it's going to be a seamless transition as it can be, just because all our guys are there. Now we just get to, you know, fill in more holes, I guess, for our roster for next year.
So when you look at this team, which player do you think is closest to making a real run to make the 21-22 Nashville Predators? Putting you on the hot spot. I'm putting you on the hot seat, Scotty.
It's good that we have training camp. Like, we have a legit normal training camp. We have exhibition games. It's not playing inter-squad games where, you know, it's not the same. You're not running your own teammates and stuff like that, but we have a good group. You know, you got your Pitlicks and your Novaks. I thought Tomasino played very well for us this year as a young kid. Led our team in scoring, and him and Tommy were tied. So he's going to have a really good chance. He's a good player. He plays, you know, he's got a little bit of everything. He plays gritty. I think this year was a really good evaluation for him, how to kind of get his nose dirty against, you know, grown men. Instead of junior hockey, it was a fantastic year for Tommy, for Tomasino. It wasn't the full blown American Hockey League. It was maybe a scale down a little bit, but it made him compete on a daily basis, and he was fantastic for us. So I'm excited for him to come in here and see what his exhibition looks like and how his training camp is. And in his mind, if you ask him right now, he's making the Nashville Predators.
Boy, you love hearing that kind of confidence. So recently it was announced with the nominees for the Jack Adams Award, there was a former Milwaukee Admirals coach and current coach of the Minnesota Wild, Dean Evason, who was nominated for that award this year. What does that mean to the organization to kind of have that pipeline of just excellence permeating throughout the entire organization?
I think it's great. I think just even like so happy for Dino. Dino, I think, was our head coach for 6 years in Milwaukee, and he was so welcoming. When I retired and took the player development role on, he was like, come on the bench. Like, he included everybody. He wants people to learn and grow. And he's the same. And whatever he preached, he taught that way. And it's great to see him finally get a chance. He's assistant coach with Washington for a long time, and then finally a head coach with Milwaukee. And then he took the step, and I thought he did a fantastic job. And you just go down the pipeline. Look at Lane Lambert. Like, he's an assistant coach with Trotsky in the Islanders. He's with them in Washington, and he's probably knocking on the door to be a head coach here pretty soon. So the American League doesn't just develop players. It develops coaches. It develops managers. It develops training staff. So it's a really good breeding ground for the guys to make the next step.
So taking a look ahead to the upcoming season, Scott, obviously you're already in planning. A little bit of realignment in the AHL, but the Admirals will continue to play in the Central Division of the West. Do you know, has a decision been made, though? Because I know it's kind of been up to up to the teams in the Atlantic, North, and the Central, you can play either 76 or 72 games. Have the ads made that decision yet on how many games they're going to play?
So we can play 68 games, or you can play 72 games, or you can play 76 games, and I'll go points percentage. And then the following year, next year, everybody across the board is going to play 72 games. So I think we are going to play 76 games. I think that they've announced that. So we'll play 76. Chicago will play 76. And I think Grand Rapids will also, in our division, will play 76. And I think the rest will play 72. So we'll play a few extra more games, which isn't a bad thing. I think the biggest thing is to get the league all in one and get them to play the same amount, just for, you know, playoffs, for goal scoring, for just kind of individual accolades. It's time for the whole league to kind of play one game and 72 games for a full year.
And the other thing to look at is the interesting thing about the Central Division. If you look at it, all the teams are Central Division NHL teams except for Chicago, all of their affiliates. Does that help, hurt, or doesn't matter?
Well, it's good rivalries. I think it's close. I think just with the COVID and what's going on, and, you know, we were very lucky. If you look at baseball, minor league baseball, they didn't go. And now you look at the American League and hockey, we did make it work. And with these crazy times with all the testing and all that kind of stuff. So it's just, I think where everyone's kind of tightening their belts a little bit, we'll play, I think we might play Chicago 14 times. Like, we're really going to emphasize and just playing our division and cut down on the travel, cut down on the flights, cut down on the hotels. And so even 76 games, we're just going to be bouncing a couple hours down the road and back. I think we'll play Cleveland a couple times, which is, you know, sometimes we'll fly, sometimes we'll take the bus, so it's not that far. But it's going to be, you know, trying to get back on track, get our fans back, because Milwaukee did not play last year. And I know the Harris and John Greenberg are working hard in the ticket sales to get that going. So I'm excited to, like I said, have our hands on the wheel and have our own group. And we had a fantastic year 2 years ago. We had a really good year last year. We won the division with Carolina. And then, you know, we're developing winners and developing attitudes and how to win every single night.
Got time for one more question. Zach, go.
Scott, you know, I don't think it's unfair to say that without the youth movement that happened this year, the Predators probably don't get to the playoffs. What one player were you really especially pleased to see their game transition flawlessly to the NHL?
Gee, that's a tough question. I feel like a proud papa seeing all these guys coming up and playing. Like, I think Alex Carrier was absolutely fantastic, lights out. He looked like he didn't miss a beat, just his speed and how he's jumping into the play. I could go through the whole lineup, and, you know, Tolvanen had his spurts. I think he had right at the right time, he helped our power play. It kind of sputtered a little bit and gave us some energy. And, you know, I can't say enough of, like, Tanner Janot and Matty Olivier and Trennan. I thought they really set the identity of our team in Nashville, and just the culture and the drive and just the, you know, the hungry, just being hungry to play and compete every single night. So, I know I'm missing guys, but even the guys that came in when we went on that long road trip between the Pitlicks and the McCarrans and, you know, Freddie Allard and Lewington, all these names nobody even heard of before came in and did an admirable job and got points when we needed points and filled some holes and plugged some holes. But, no, I was very proud of our group, and I think it just shows the, you know, the depth of the organization and the development of our players and the coaches in Milwaukee and our scouts drafting players. And, you know, it takes a team effort for sure. It's not one guy. So I was very proud of our guys and proud of our organization, because we dug ourselves out of a huge trench and we ended up making playoffs.
Well, Scotty, we certainly appreciate you taking the time to join us tonight. Thank you very much. Enjoy your summer, and we'll have you back on when we get going again next fall. Okay.
All right, boys. Thanks. I appreciate it.
All right. Scott Nichol, the general manager of the Milwaukee Admirals, joining us down on the farm tonight. Brought to you by Lazy Boy Furniture Galleries, Cool Springs, Hendersonville, and Murfreesboro. Three locations. Plenty of ready-to-deliver furniture. You got to check them out, because I don't know if you've tried to order furniture lately, but you got to wait a long time if you're having it built. So check them out over at Lazy Boy. And we'll be right back right here on Slapshot Radio, ESPN 102.5, The Game. All right. I took Kenny's choice away at the for the second segment, going down on the farm. So nice call in the Dire Straits. Slapshot Radio on ESPN 102.5, The Game. Paul McCann, Zach McCann coming at you. Brent Peterson is a healthy scratch on the lake with his family, and I hope he's enjoying himself. You know what? We were having a good discussion here on the expansion draft. So, you know, we've talked a little bit about Cale Yarncroke, but I think there's another interesting one that you need to look at, and that's Victor Arvidsson.
Took the words out of my mouth. That's certainly one who I think is a fascinating grab if you are the Seattle Kraken. I don't think he is quite at the level where he gets protected. I don't know. I don't think I would protect Victor Arvidsson right now.
It's kind of hard, and gosh, you know, this is when the whole "this is a business" junior comes in, because, you know, you hate going that way, because how can you not love Victor Arvidsson? How can you not love what he's done for this team, for this city? But when you look at it right now, this is when it becomes a cold, calculating business. And you look at, you know, from a forward perspective, you'd have to look at who you protect him over. Do you protect him over Philip Forsberg? Not just no, hell no. Do you protect him over Luke Cunnan? That's a hard one. Cunnan is, you know, a different kind of player. He's, you know, 6 years younger. He's got another year on his contract. I would protect Cunnan.
Yeah,
Cunnan.
Yeah, honestly, I think I'm in the same boat, especially with what Cunnan showed you this year.
I think
if you looked at just the play in the top six,
yes,
I think that Luke Cunnan has more upside than Victor Arvidsson does. And again,
this is nothing against Victor Arvidsson. It's just nostalgia
gets you into trouble into this business.
And that's when a team normally really gets into trouble. You're right. The interesting piece, another one that I look at, because you've got to figure, you know, the available players, and just from the forward perspective, you know, Sissons, Cousins, Arvey, Yarncroke, Johansson, Trennan, Grimaldi, Forsberg, Cunnan, Duchesne, and then Jeannot, Pitlick, and McCarron, they're all RFAs.
Yeah.
So, you know, I look at that and go, all right, they're not ones I would, you know, I look at a lot of that list. McCarron, Pitlick, Jeannot, no. You know, Olivier is exempt. Tomasino's exempt. Tolvanen's exempt, thank heavens. But the interesting piece is, if you go with the three forwards, you know, you go with the three and five, you go with the eight skaters, I mean, I kind of agree with what Adam Vingan is proposing, which is you protect Sissons, you protect Forsberg, and you protect Cunnan. And that's it.
I find it hard to disagree with that, because honestly, when it comes to the forwards, there aren't a lot of players who I think are worth protecting. You have a lot of the same forward right now. But honestly, the question becomes is on the back end. That's where things have gotten extremely difficult, which, of course, Nashville's kind of a defensive factory, and they're living up to that name. And we've talked about it before on this show. The play of Alex Carrier, as mentioned by Scott Nichol, and I mean, that's the guy who I thought just stepped in seamlessly. That's a guy who can play in your top four for a while, it looks like.
And that's the interesting piece, because if you look at it, and Adam Vingan is real clear on this. He comes out and says, you know, hey, before this season, Dante Fabbro being protected is an absolute no-brainer. And then along comes Alex Carrier. And, I mean, this is a tough one. So assuming you're going with three forwards, then you can do five defensemen. Matt Benning? No. Ben Harper? No. Mark Borowiecki? Probably not. I mean, hopefully he comes back. You don't really want to look at that. You don't have to worry about Jeremy Davis. You don't have to worry about David Ferrance. But now you've got Matthias Ekholm. Oh, hell yeah. Roman Yossi's got a no move. Absolutely.
Even if he didn't.
Alexander Carrier, I think, has got to be protected. But I think the interesting one is Ryan Ellis.
It's certainly interesting is the way to put that. The reason why I think if you are willing, you either need to protect Ryan Ellis or you need to trade him. You cannot lose Ryan Ellis to expansion. Ryan Ellis is just too darn good to lose to expansion.
Yeah.
And there's a market for a player like Ryan Ellis. You're telling me Philadelphia wouldn't give up the farm to get a player of Ryan Ellis's caliber?
Is he part of a potential deal that brings a certain center from a certain team in a certain upstate New York city? Is he part of a deal?
If you could get Jack Eichel for Ryan Ellis
and
other things, then, you know, I'm holding David Poyle hostage until he does it. I mean, that is a move that you have to make.
But again, so you either trade him or protect him.
Yeah, absolutely. I think there is no middle ground. You cannot lose Ryan Ellis to expansion. Losing him for nothing, because if you're Seattle and Ryan Ellis is available, you are gleefully skipping up to the podium and saying, that one, please.
But do you protect Dante Fabro?
Yes. I think the potential and just the time invested into him. Again, when Dante Fabro was good this year, he was excellent.
True.
It was when he, kind of had some injury issues that I think was his problem here. I think, honestly, it was just the play of Alex Carrier that got him out of the lineup. And I think you are going to lose one of Matthias Ekholm or Ryan Ellis in the next year.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know which one it is, and I think that's going to depend on the play of Dante Fabro.
Yeah, I mean, because you look at the things that have to happen in this defensive core. And the signing of Matthias Ekholm, I mean, look, the comeback doesn't happen. Matthias Ekholm is probably on a different team right now. And that would have been something that would have, in some respects, been forced. However, I don't think you let Matthias Ekholm go. I mean, I just don't think I just see him getting re-signed.
He means too much to this team, and his play is just so different from the other defensemen that are on this team. And that's the reason why you keep a Matthias Ekholm. He brings kind of that larger physical edge. Mm-hmm. We have enough people who can move the puck and skate in and freewheel and deal. We don't have another Matthias Ekholm style defenseman on this team.
It's a good point. So I tell you, I like what, and obviously you're protecting UC Soros, obviously.
Oh, clearly.
I mean, that's a no-brainer. Now, and plus Pecorino, you don't have to worry about because he's a free agent.
The question for me, though, is it fair to expect the same level of success from the Seattle Kraken that the Golden Knights had?
Wow. The interesting piece of all of that is that I think that Vegas caught lightning in a bottle, and it'll be interesting to see what happens when the rebuild happens, and it may be another year or two, but it's going to happen. So, I mean, they've built a wonderful thing in Vegas over the first 3 years. Easy to do when you're winning. And it's going to be interesting to see how that market reacts to not winning.
Well, it's also going to be interesting when they have more professional teams there with the Las Vegas Raiders starting up as well.
Oh, I mean, agreed. And they didn't have to worry about it last year only because they didn't have any fans in the building. It's a gorgeous stadium in Vegas.
Yep.
So that's fascinating to me to watch. Do I think, is it fair to have those expectations? Maybe not. But, the cat's out of the bag now. It's been done. And now that's the bar you're going to get you're going to get measured against. Fair, unfair. Ron Francis, good luck, my friend.
He's saying thanks a lot.
I mean, but think about it. I mean, now I don't think that the Seattle Kraken have to make a run to the Stanley Cup final in order to be considered a success in their first year.
And I think playoffs at a minimum in a weak division.
In a weak division, I agree with you. I think a playoffs at a minimum is probably the minimum bar of success for year one in Seattle. Because, I mean, the market's primed. They're ready for it. They're going to already have a fan base. They've got all, they already have a, you know, an inbound rivalry an hour and a half away in Vancouver. I mean, that's going to be a lot of fun to watch.
I mean, in my mind, especially looking at that division, none of the California teams scare me.
No.
I think Vancouver clearly has a lot of problems looking at everything that's happened there.
Yes.
And then it's Vegas as probably the top class of that division. And, yep. I mean, at that rate, there's room for Seattle.
Absolutely is. Again, I think it's the right thing at the right time that they're able to make some sort of run. We've got more to talk about here on Slapshot Radio. We're going to take a look at the two series that are ongoing right now to determine who's going to be playing for Lord Stanley's mug. It's all coming up next right here on Slapshot Radio. I do want to tell you real quick about our good friend Carter Church over at KW Murfreesboro. Now, I've known him for quite a long time, and I've seen how Carter's 20 years of media and marketing experience have driven his proven success as a real estate agent. I'm telling you, Carter knows homes, and you need Carter on your team. Call Carter today at 615-429-2044. That's 615-429-2044. Carter knows homes. Carter Church is your real estate professional. You got to call him today, and we'll be right back right here on Slapshot Radio, ESPN 1025, The Game. Slapshot Radio. Kenny back there grooving to some Huey Lewis in the News. I mean, he's bopping behind there. I mean, I'm telling you. Slapshot Radio on ESPN 102.5. Kenny really believes in the power of love. There's no question about that. So,
Kenny Lewis in the News.
So, anyway, let's talk about what's going on in the league right now. Two series going on. One looks to be a borderline blowout, and one looks to be really, really fascinating. So let's talk about the borderline blowout right now, Vegas and Montreal, because Montreal's looked good for maybe 15 minutes, and they've looked fine. But Vegas is just... Vegas is a terrible matchup for the Montreal Canadiens.
No. I mean, I agree with that, but I don't know if I'm willing to call this a blowout yet, because if you'd have told me, you know, after the Avalanche handed the Knights their lunch in game one, everyone thought that series was over, too.
True.
Now, Montreal is not a Vegas Golden Knights, but I do think that there is enough talent and enough, you know, frankly, piss and vinegar within the Montreal Canadiens to be able to handle that. Because if you look at players like Shea Weber, they might be getting Jeff Petrie back as well tonight. If you have,
that could be big.
If you have some of those players who are willing to get in there and contribute and make life miserable for that Vegas forecheck, you might be able to have something in there. It is going to take Carey Price being the next, you know, the second coming. But if any goalie can, it's Carey Price.
Well, I mean, and let's face it, it would be a fitting capper to just an incredible career with the Montreal Canadiens. But I just look at this as just being an absolutely, at least, you know, again, one game, one swallow doesn't make a spring, but one game in, it doesn't look like it's a good matchup for Montreal at all, because it just seemed like Montreal looked great for the first 10, 15 minutes of the first period. Honestly, if a goal would have fell, I think it would have been a different, there would have been a different, you know, results, I think. But you give up that goal, you know, 13 minutes in, and Vegas just hit the gas at that point. It was fascinating to watch.
I do think that any team who came out of the North Division was going to have that welcome to the rest of the league kid moment.
And I think that's what was about halfway through the first period of game one.
But honestly, that is what made the game one of both series so fascinating for me, is the first time we've seen interdivisional play. This time, in the league.
First time they've seen each other.
So there was a bit of a feeling out phase for both, for all four teams, really. And I think you're going to see, I don't know if any of these end in a sweep. I could see Montreal probably going 5 or 6, honestly.
Right.
I do think the Islanders and the Lightning, that one.
That's going to go a long way. That's going at least 6 and probably longer.
Mm-hmm.
And just putting a bow on the Vegas Montreal series, I think that, you know, 5 maybe. And I just look at it and go, unless Carey Price just completely stones Vegas for 2 or 3 games, I don't see a different result. Now, moving on to Tampa Bay and the New York Islanders, and I mean, believe me, you know, I've described it before, you know, rooting for Montreal, you want Shea Weber, but golly, can we just take Corey Perry out of the lineup? You know, it's one of those things. But rooting for Barry Trotz and the New York Islanders for a longtime diehard Flyers fan is really, really hard to root for the Islanders. But you have to love how this team plays. They came out, and I haven't seen Tampa Bay look flummoxed in this entire playoffs until about the second period of game one. New York had them just talking to themselves, because every pass they've been able to get away with throughout the entire playoffs, the passing lane was clogged up. There was a stick in the way, a leg in the way, something. I mean, Barry Trotz deserves a boatload of credit for the scheme for game one, and New York ends up winning it.
Yeah, I thought it was just a heck of a job by Trotzy and the boys out there. The interesting thing was, I think that the Islanders deserved better in game two.
I do.
Honestly.
I agree.
I think that the Tampa caught a whole can't miss bug and just kind of had that game where everything they shot seemed to go in. Now, obviously, you had that super unfortunate play that took Sorokin out.
Right.
You know, best wishes to him. I'm not sure. I haven't seen anything on him, whether or not, you know, he's going to be able to play in the rest of the series.
Mm-hmm.
And having a goalie come in, even one as good as Semyon Varlamov, is still difficult to come in cold after watching your teammate, you know, take that nasty hit.
Yep.
From really his own player.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
And then you come in cold, not only coming in cold, but you're coming in cold against a team that smelled blood in the water at that point.
And not only that, you know, you had some tough things go against you. Tampa clearly had like 18 players on the ice for one goal, and that was a tough thing to see.
It was only 16. Now, come on.
Excuse me. You look at that, and I mean, you know, certainly the officials have taken their brunt of a beating throughout this entire playoff series, fair or unfair.
But you know what? I don't think the officiating has been terrible in the playoffs. I don't believe it's been the story. Now, I think some coaches have tried to make it a story. Rod Brindamore.
Yeah.
I do think that the coaches have tried to make it a story, but I haven't felt like there
it's
has
gotten
been
better.
It's better. Now, again, you know, better than absolute.
Yeah,
you know,
I thought it was atrocious in the first and second round. I think in this round, it seems like it's gotten okay.
I don't know if I'd use atrocious, but I mean, there were some games that were meh.
Yeah.
But overall, I felt it's pretty good. Well, I tell you what, we've got Kenny, we've got NHL hockey coming up on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Yes, we're going to have game two of Vegas and the Montreal Canadiens coming up a little bit later right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And that's going to do it for us here on Slapshot Radio. We're on next Monday night because of Nashville SC and Nashville Sounds Baseball next week on Wednesday night. So we're going to be talking hockey Monday night, 6 o'clock right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Please make sure you join us. We'd like to thank our guest, the Milwaukee Admirals GM, Scotty Nichols, for joining us tonight. We certainly appreciate all of our sponsors. Thank you so much. When you visit one of our sponsors, please make sure you tell them you heard about it on Slapshot Radio and thank them for their support. For our producer, Kenny on the Wheels of Steel, our co-host, Brent Peterson, and Zach McCann, I'm Paul McCann saying good night and good hockey.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.